Welcome to Research Methods in Computer Science. I am Timo Tihanen, and I'll try to introduce to the general outline of this course and the purpose of this course. So I will briefly update the learning goals and teaching approach because these deviate from what is presented in the study guide. And then we will discuss something very generic about research and research methods, especially in computer science related areas. And then I summarize the actual content matter of this course. So in study guide, the formal guides, formal goals, it said that you should become aware of the key areas of computer science research methods. Understand how the scientific activity works. What is the role of research methods in research processes? And you should be aware of the ethical guidelines that are governing research and are present in computer science research. And this helps you to prepare for the master thesis process. What we can achieve in practice is just to scratch the surface of the wealth of the research methods. There are many methods, and we can discuss only a few of them. And because the mere wealth of the research methods shows that researchers have very many viewpoints and opinions about how to do research, and that is something you have to understand and accept. And we should also learn to avoid at least the biggest mistakes we can do with research ethics. So, how do I approach the teaching? The original plan has been to deliver a series of lectures and then make a toy research plan and then a group assignment for research ethics. This was planned already in 2019 before COVID. And during COVID years, the teachers changed and we had to adapt to new approaches. So now we are still working basically in the remote mode, based on the best practices we adopted during the COVID era. So we are not making fake research plans, but we try to learn about different research approaches and try to verbalize our understanding, our puzzles, the questions that these methods raise, both in small groups and also on individual essays. And this has been now going on for more than 3 years, and it seems to work even in those cases where you don't yet have your own topic area and you are not sure how to approach it. So you will get some idea of several methods, several approaches, and you also have to learn to read scientific articles that, especially the method articles, tend to be very philosophical, obscure, rather long and with difficult language, and that you have to master in short time budget. So you will not be reading word by word with the dictionary, but trying to catch the idea of a big paper. And then, of course, you achieve only partial understanding, and you have to be able to communicate that partial understanding to your peers, perhaps the questions that have been arising, and so on, and get feedback and ideas from the others. This will be useful skill also when you will be interacting with your supervisors later on. And working remotely in small groups, it's rather flexible. You have to agree only with two other people for the timing. Of course, you can meet physically, you can meet virtually. So it's something that it's very easy to arrange compared to having classes in classroom on fixed dates and times. So, why do we speak about research methods? The fundamental driver for this is that research takes place in what is called the open world. That is, it happens in situations that are not fully controlled. So some things are controlled very well in the laboratory. Some research is done outside the laboratory, and in any case, we can't really control all the factors, which means that the results are not absolute truths. They are perhaps partial truths. They are likely explanations of the observations with some assumptions on the non-controllable stuff. Mathematics is an exception. It can create absolute truths from certain axioms with correct inference rules. Then what is not certain is that whether these mathematical truths can be applied to this particular case in the real world. When this is the background, having a method that is well known to be reliable to a certain extent, it contributes to the acceptability and verifiability of the results. So other researchers can repeat the research in their own context with same methods and then verify the results, or they can actually, even without re-verifying, they can accept your arguments if they know the method and what kind of conclusions the method makes, so what are the weak points of the method, and so on. So being explicit about your method helps other researchers to understand how strong your results are and where are the weak points, where are the strong points. Also, research is done for many purposes, and for that reason, we need different methods, because one method answers for one type of question, but not for all types of questions. And for that, we will briefly go through summaries that have been made some 20 years ago about computer science and software engineering research. And we will discuss these two sources in more detail in a minute. So, the next slides will elaborate research methods from different angles, like the focus of the study. What is studied? Is it something limited or something large? Why we study, what we want to achieve as outcome of the study, what is known, what is the goal we want to know, so what we want to achieve with the research, and of course, which methods we master. So we can only use the methods we know. And this we will briefly discuss with these previously mentioned reviews. So first, the level of analysis. So what is studied in computer science? So we will first focus on computer science. So computer science is focusing basically on computing elements, so algorithms, programs, components, and also the abstract concepts. Now these are, so it's pretty much that. So it doesn't discuss about society, organization, projects, groups, individuals. Some focus on computing systems, so computer architectures and so on. That's not really in the core of computer science. Software engineering has a rather similar scope. It's also very much about abstract concepts and a bit less about algorithms, components, programs. So they go, say, above the algorithms, above individual programs, and maybe make abstract concepts about larger entities. So they discuss more about system level things and also have all this sort of business connections, business con individuals, groups, projects, professions. So the things or that relate to people doing software as a group rather than as an individual doing software for a certain purpose in certain time budget and so on. So these are sort of focus points of research. Mainly abstract concepts, programs, some extent the external environment of making programs. Then the research approach. Computer science is formulating things. It's formulating concepts, algorithms, methods, processes, and that's about all of it. So they, to some extent, they evaluate and describe, but these are sort of minor. In software engineering, it's also formulative. They formulate methods, and I guess these are more methods than algorithms, perhaps more processes. They formulate models for software processes and so on. There's somewhat evaluation, and then they are just describing things, how things happen. So how different software companies are doing their processes and so on. So it's more sort of observation description than, for example, in computer science. So these two areas, they are a bit different, but still focusing very much on formulating new things rather than studying the existing. Okay, then about the research process. It can have very different types of goals. So what do you want to achieve with research? So we can just try to find out what is happening. So basically observing things, trying to record the observations, classify them. We might want to develop something that works, that's sort of technological approach. And when something is developed, then evaluate, compare existing systems, compare it to the new design, and so on. And ultimately, there can be research that aims to change the human behavior, so that tries to change the world, even on the level of our behavior. And we can work with different data, so we can collect data from the field, so from the open world. We can collect data in laboratory, or we can just collect data from the literature, evaluating literature and creating concepts on top. So we can reading, observing, asking, measuring, experimenting, modeling. So there are different ways to collect data, collect information. And this data, we can identify, classify it. We can make quantitative studies. We can try to catch different scenarios, trends, or we can just try to visualize it and or make these classifications. Depending, of course, what we want to achieve. And then when the research has been done, we have to ask whether we have achieved the goal, whether we can draw some conclusions, whether we can evaluate the results, whether the results have some limitations that are of importance and so on. So with this versatility of research goals, ways of doing research, certainly you have to have different types of methods to cover all this variety. So just to illustrate, this is a picture from a paper that exemplifies the situation with some quantitative methods. So these are statistical methods. This is taken from the behavioral science context. So even if you just do playing with statistical data, you have already a dozen of methods that are mentioned here. So if you have other types of data, then the situation is even more complex. So back to this survey. So in computer science, the research methods are basically conceptual analysis. And in computer science context, conceptual analysis means basically mathematical analysis. And you are working with concepts, proving theorems on concepts, and for small part, making experiments to prove the concept. But that really covers, say, 9 cases out of 10. Again, there's some more mathematics here, and only a small number of experiments, either laboratory experiment with software or making simulation experiments. And a lot of research methods are not touched at all in computer science. Software engineering, it's also conceptual analysis, but less mathematical. So studying with concepts that are not mathematical, they are not analyzed with mathematical proofs, but they are more concepts about maybe human behavior and so on. Proof of concept is much more important. So, because you can't prove things mathematically, you try to prove it with practical implementation. That's sort of natural. And then you have great variety of different types of things. So you can make case studies, analyze data. You can experiment with humans in the laboratory, and so on. So in software engineering, the picture is much more sort of versatile than in computer science. So there are many research methods, but nothing guarantees that for your purpose there's a suitable method that exists. So many breakthroughs in science relate to new innovation in the research premises and methods. So you somehow get an idea to look things from a different angle, and then you can see something else, something that nobody has seen before. But that's maybe not something you try to do at the master's level. So you have to know the established methods before trying to use them in creative way or abusing them. So basically you have to know to play right before playing wrong. So that it has a desired effect. The methods are methods. They are built on certain assumptions, certain theories, and as such, they are sort of fundamentally wrong. They are simplifications of the real world, but they can be helpful and useful in certain situations when the assumptions are right. But the other side of the coin is that in some cases, using certain methods can be even harmful because the method and its assumption, it will hide things that are there. But using a wrong method, you cannot see them. And you can draw conclusions that seem sound, but they are fundamentally defect. And that happens, for example, in financial modeling very much. So yeah, you can model the short time behavior, but you cannot predict the catastrophes that are lurking in years to come. So when you have a method, be aware of its limitations and do not trust it in all cases without caution. So next to computer science literature. So computer science has mathematical roots as a research field. So it's, as you saw it, it's about developing, verifying, analyzing, proving algorithms. If there's an empirical component, it's perhaps testing the outcomes of the theoretical study in actual platforms, architectures, maybe comparing different platforms, architectures for their actual performance. What is typical for this kind of research is that we never discuss about research methods. There are no research methods named in the papers. We're just doing research, proving theorems and testing the outcomes in real life. And there's no name for that, or at least we don't mention any name in the paper. So if you take a typical computer science paper, you don't find the research method in the paper. So the concept of research method, it lives in the complement of algorithmic mathematical research in research that has other goals than developing and analyzing algorithms and proving theorems. And our master theses are typically something else than formal mathematical analysis of algorithms because we are not a pure computer science faculty or department. So the curricula are more applied. They have other dimensions than formal analysis. And this course focuses to these other areas, so something else than proving and developing algorithms. So we will discuss 6 point of views in 6 weeks. We will discuss first, well, we will start discussing by analyzing systematic mappings and reviews. So how to build a systematic view to the research literature about the given topic. Then we will move to design science, which is about making science about creation of a new artifact, new software application device, and how to see it as a research. Then on third week, we discuss use of computer as a research tool that provides information about the reality. So basically how computer simulations can tell something that happens in the real world. Fourth week is about surveys. So how to get information from the basically humans, or the users and stakeholders and so on. And fifth week, we will look at other viewpoints, so other approaches to research that are not covered by the previous four. And the last week is about ethics, how the ethics intervenes with the research in computer science, so how it interacts with the scientific community and how it touches the research topics of computer science. So why these? The order of this topic has been evolving during the years I have been running this course, and I tried to mimic the logic of a typical research paper research process, and take into account the background of most of the participants. And the reviews are something that our own bachelor students make in their bachelor thesis, so it's something familiar. And typically, the research starts by having an idea of what has been done already. And often the research papers also have a section of the previous or related work. So not to reinvent the wheel, you have to know which wheels have been invented already. Information technology is a technology, so it creates something new. And the point of view of designing the new reality is an essential thing. And sort of design science tries to verbalize much of the creation of new algorithms and devices that has been around without method name for decades. When we are developing something new, we very often develop and test it in artificial environment before we go to operative use. So we may simulate the actual artifact we are developing, or we may have to simulate the environment where we apply. So we will simulate the payloads, we will simulate the use cases and so on. And the point of view of simulation, drawing inference on simulation is something that we have to discuss also. And the real value of the research is often measured in practice, involving users, making interventions that may address ethical questions, what to do with your experimental not patients, but anyway, with those involved in your experiments and so on. So these are other topics we are going to discuss in the next weeks.